to guess why we've kind of had that particular reading today as we kind of anticipate a general election on the 12th of December. One of the things, though, that I thought would be good to talk about in the light of that, you may well feel that you've heard enough already. I'm fairly glad, actually, that I've got a scheduled trip to Latvia between the 1st and 8th of December, where possibly there will be a complete election freeze, perhaps so. Let's see. This time, it's kind of interesting, isn't it, that the leaders of each of the main parties, particularly the three major parties, none of them, and this is unusual, certainly in my memory, none of them has kind of an overt Christian profession of faith, which is interesting. All of them have made fairly extravagant promises. In fact, I've seen one or two headlines, Christmas has come early. Of course, as we know, you know, when Christmas comes very, very early, the credit card bill bounces in very early too. There's a sense in which it's possible that people, everybody, including Christians, might feel that their voice is not really being heard. Sometimes we can get that impression, not just with politicians, but with anybody, that maybe people might ask our opinion, but you kind of get the impression that if you offer it, no one's really listening very carefully. It doesn't really register anywhere particularly. And that nothing we can do will make much of a difference. So I kind of feel that maybe the best thing to do would be to hibernate for a while and just hope it all goes away. Well, Paul says here in this passage that we read together, what can we do? And one of the things that he says that Christians can do is to pray. Now, at first sight, when you say, well, Christians can pray, well, you kind of think, well, you know, what difference will that make? What is the point of praying? What does prayer actually accomplish? It sounds super spiritual. It sounds unimportant. It sounds irrelevant just to be praying about huge issues that affect human beings around our country and human beings around the world. Many years ago, C.S. Lewis said this about those who were reformers in the church in the 19th century. He said this, "Evangelicals who abolished the slave trade all left their mark on earth precisely because their minds were occupied with heaven. It is since Christians have largely ceased to think of the other world that they have become so ineffective in this." What can we do? Well, one of the things we can do is pray. And it's important to think about how we pray and what we pray. Paul says that this kind of praying is an urgent matter. I urge you, first of all, that requests, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving be made for everyone, the kings and all those in authority, that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. It's a priority. I urge you to be thinking about doing this. And he kind of piles these phrases on, requests, particular petitions and requests that are shaped very precisely. Prayers in general, intercessions, prayers for other people, and importantly, thanksgiving. I'll come to that again in a moment. Using all kinds of prayers, using creativity. You know, sometimes prayer can be uncreative. It can be monochrome. It has one pace and one style. Paul says, you know, think through the whole range of praying at this particular time and bring your requests to God. Imaginative praying, faithful praying, creative praying, urgent praying. God help us. One of my prayers, you've heard me pray it at this time, is we do not know what to do, but our eyes are upon you. Prayer of the people of God in the Old Testament in 2 Kings 20. We do not know what to do as our pencil hovers over the voting slip. But our eyes are upon you. Think about our country. Think about the prospects, the possibilities, the chaotic aspects of our society at this time. We do not know what to do, but our eyes are upon you. It's an urgent matter to prayerfully reflect upon the times in which we live. Such prayer is urgent. Such prayer is also inclusive. Pray for all. Pray for everybody. Prayer is not just something which is the interest of a segment of the community. It's something that is for everybody. Prayer is not a parochial thing. In fact, it's always a very dangerous thing when any group merely thinks about itself or is looking out for its own interests. It's really important, isn't it? Says Paul, that if prayer is going to take place at all, it is prayer for everybody, for all. And it's a reminder that God's ambitions for the Christian church and God's ambitions for the world are perhaps bigger than we can imagine. That he has not only our nation and our national well-being in his heart, but he has a broader vision, that the church has a role in the world of prayerfully seeking God's favour in our nation, that our nation might not only be politically stable, morally stable, socially stable, but also that there would be a context for spiritual flourishing in our land, a place of breathing space for human beings to be what God intended them to be. To pray for everyone is to be particularly expectant that God can do something bigger than the range that sometimes we have in mind when we pray. He's able to do immeasurably more than we can ask or imagine, Paul writes to the Ephesian Christians. And that ought to make us attentive. If we pray for God to be at work in our nation, our national life, our national leaders, we pray with attentiveness that God will actually do that. And more specifically, as we pray for everyone, pray for all people, we pray with a remembrance that God does not exclude anybody from his favour. He sends his rain upon the just and the unjust. He sends his sunshine upon the just and the unjust. We're reminded too that some people will not pray for themselves. And who is going to pray for those who will not pray for themselves if it's not those who believe in prayer, who believe in God who answers prayer? Pray for all people. Pray for everybody. Pray for those who will pray for themselves. Pray for those who will not pray for themselves, that God might bring surprise blessings into their lives. And pray for kings and all those who are in authority. Jesus was standing before a representative of the Roman Empire just before his crucifixion, and they were talking about power. It was kind of a bit of a standoff. Jesus, the king of the ages, on trial before a representative of the Roman Empire. They were talking about power, and Jesus said, you would not have power unless it had been granted to you from heaven. However powerful someone might be, White House or 10th Downing Street or the Kremlin, whoever they are, no one exercises power without, in a sense, it being granted to them by God. No one, no human being is an absolute power. Only God is absolutely powerful. And that's why we can pray. Someone has said, and this is important from a first century point of view, but from our own point of view too, that we pray not to the emperor, but for the emperor. In the first century, people viewed the kings and the emperor as divine beings. And it's interesting, historically, within the last 100 years, there was some thinking about the divine right of kings, even in Britain, that even our kings and queens had some kind of spiritual power. some mystical power. No, we don't pray to the emperor, we pray for the emperor. Paul was writing in an age where people imagined that the emperor, the empire, would determine any good that was experienced. That if there was going to be any advance, well, it was going to be human leaders that would advance human life. But Paul, in saying, pray for these leaders, is reminding us that they need a power outside of themselves, a wisdom, a strength, a direction outside of themselves. And perhaps that's why we ought to be particularly concerned about the lack of any overt faith evidenced in our main party leaders. But I think it's important also to say, as someone wrote in a little book about prayer, ridicule, satire, caricature and criticism are all directed against them. Isn't it time we really prayed for them? Now, I think that in the US, President Trump is such an easy target, such a pantomime villain, that people have found that it's very easy to ridicule him. And likewise, in our own country, Boris, big whirling arms Boris with his wild hair, is such an easy target for ridicule. I know someone in Latvia who used to cut Boris's hair. You kind of feel that that's perhaps not necessarily a recommendation for her skills, but she did. It's possible, isn't it, for us to view political leaders with ridicule, satire, and caricature, but not recognize that if they are elected, if they are in power, they do wield considerable power and influence in our lives and for our futures. Confetti promises in election time can be very costly in a time of government. We need to pray. We need to pray hard. And such prayer also expresses gratitude with thanksgiving. We need to pray and thank God that we have an election. There are some countries in the world where there are no free and fair elections. We need to be thankful that we do have a say, that we do have a vote. We need to be thankful that there are political parties who ask for our support, not demand it by force. We need to be thankful for that. We need to be thankful that even when parties are not quite our cup of Darjeeling, they can do good things as well as things that we're not entirely happy with. We need to be grateful that even those who perhaps don't share our faith can make decisions which can be to our benefit. I think we need to recognize God's goodness at work in our nation. There are chaotic elements. It is, as Roland prayed earlier, it's a concern that there are divisions within our society, kind of deep divisions, north and south, but also between families and communities. That's something that we need to be prayerfully thinking about. Very easy for peaceful demonstrations to become wild and destructive demonstrations. I remember, probably mentioned it before, being in Birmingham during the race riots in 1981 and having to hide in a department store and seeing a line of policemen and women with fear on their faces. It can be horrible and ugly when peace is disrupted and things become violent. But we need to be thankful. Some people look at life and complain of what is not there. Others look at life and rejoice in what is there. We need to, as we pray, be thankful that we do live in Britain with so many of the benefits and liberties that we do have in this country, and prayerfully ask that those benefits and liberties will not be snatched away but might be strengthened and enhanced in the coming days. We pray for a stable society, pray for government leaders so we may have peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. Now, Paul is not saying, you know, pray for this so that, you know, you can just kind of have an easy time, you know, you can kind of rest on your patio, sipping a cool drink. What he's saying is he wants stability in society so that people can develop their godly lives and influence and have a platform for sharing the message of the gospel. Now, we need to recognize, as someone said, people regularly risk their very lives to flee conditions under which peaceful and quiet life has been impossible. Death in a leaky refugee boat is less feared than the insanity of disorder, insecurity, deprivation, and sometimes lethal intimidation. We do live in a world where thousands of people are risking their lives in order to get to places like Britain because they see something of a different narrative to their own chaotic society. We need to pray that that will not be jeopardized. We need to pray that that might be strengthened, that the refugee is welcomed, that the vulnerable person has a place of support and security, that there is an opportunity to tell of the love of God. In the Old Testament, when the people of God were in exile in Babylon, in Jeremiah chapter 29, too many chapters, also seek the peace and prosperity of the city to which I have carried you into exile. Pray to the Lord for it, because if it prospers, you too will prosper. It is possible, Jeremiah says, even in the most difficult circumstances, as exiles in Babylon, to have an impact upon your society by being prayerful, proactive, faithful believers in that society. Christians, praying Christians, can make a difference. I remember reading these words of John Stott many years ago. Is the state of our nation today due in part to a lack of prayer? If in the community, indeed the world, there is more violence than peace, more oppression than justice, more secularism than godliness, is it because we Christians are not praying as we should? Praying can be an occasional pastime. It can be an intermittent habit. It can be the Christian's native breath. Possibly, and you don't want to kind of nag people about this, possibly the Christian church could raise its game when it comes to praying. Whether it be the public prayer times in the life of the church, or small groups, or gatherings for prayer, or their own meeting together and pausing for a minute and praying. Why should we pray? Paul says, this is good and pleases God our Savior, who wants all men to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. Why do we pray? It's good. Such big-hearted praying reflects the heartbeat of God. God loves people. God loves people to be whole. There's kind of a big word, saved. Saved means to be forgiven. Saved also means to be whole, healthy, feeling a sense of well-being, able to breathe easily in your skin. He wants all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. He wants people to be rescued. He wants people to come into a knowledge of himself. That's the object of our praying for national leaders, that we might have a society that's free enough to be able to tell people how they can be really free on the inside as well as on the outside too. In fact, maybe that's something we ought to be praying for in the next 2 or 3 weeks. Father God, create in our society an environment where there is true peace and true freedom, peace with you and freedom to know you? That's a question, isn't it? Saved. Are you saved? Are you saved? Have you been rescued from being lost? Rescued from being empty? Rescued from being unforgiven? Rescued from being empty of that which is good? Have you been saved? Have you been saved from a pointless life to receive a knowledge of the truth? Part of the purpose of the state is to restrain the chaos that can gobble up our society and wreck it and ruin it and make it impossible for people to flourish in our world. Part of the purpose of the state is to create the environment where people can express freely what they believe so that other people might have an opportunity to believe it too. For there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. Jews say this, and Christians say this. There is one God. He's the God of the universe. He's the creator of all things. And this creator God has built a bridge into human life, and the bridge is a person. The bridge is Jesus Christ. The mediator is Jesus Christ. God has personally invaded our world in his generosity and goodness and saving purpose in his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, so that we might know him and experience him for ourselves. So as we look forward to December the 12th, as we think about that particular date, and we think about our own place in that, and think about the potential for being powerless and not really being able to do very much, what we remember is that we are very definitely in God's hands, and that our nation is in God's hands. We're not hopeless and helpless, because we are in touch with a God who can move mountains and move people. It's been interesting this last few weeks to remember the 30th anniversary of those events that happened in the communist world at the end of the 1980s, beginning of the 1990s. How many people prayed for decades for a change in those circumstances, that the Iron Curtain, the Berlin Wall, might come down. And it did. We pray because prayer is effective. We pray because God has the intention of bringing blessing into his world. And he brings blessing into his world through the prayers and the witness of his people. I urge you then that requests, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgiving be made for everyone, the kings and those in authority, that we might not live in chaos, but we might live in peace. The peace that gives us an opportunity to find peace with God through the Saviour, Jesus. Let's pray. And Father God, we thank you for the privilege of being able to pray. We thank you that we can call upon your name now, and we ask you that you will help us and guide us in our praying at this time. Father God, we know that we as Christians cannot attach our prayers to one particular party or one particular candidate. Father, we would pray that we might see you moving in the lives of our people, our nation, and our political parties, to create an environment which will be good for our country, good for our relationship in the world, and good for the development of what is healthy, wholesome, peaceful, promotes truth, and promotes freedom to know you. We do not know what to do in terms of our response to all the political claims and counterclaims at this time, but our eyes are upon you. Amen.